Once again, nothing I'd rather be than to be here fellowshipping and worshiping and praising God with you. Amen. I hope you'll give it your all this morning. Amen. Praise and worship is like a garden, you know. You get what you put into it, you'll get back out of it. Amen. Amen. Let's just give Him some glory this morning. I'd like to sing that song, We Fall Down, Lay Our Crowns.
We fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry,
all your hearts. Hallelujah.
And we fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet.
Oh, you give Him a hand of praise this morning? Amen. He's worthy of that praise. Hallelujah. We praise You, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that song, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to something that's a word that would bless Your heart. I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, You're looking into my heart.
Sing it now. Hallelujah.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much You deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is Yours, every single breath. Oh yes, I'll bring You more than a song, for a song in itself is not what You have required. Oh, search us, Lord. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. Hallelujah. Sing it now. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about You.
That's right. Yes, Lord. Sing it now.
It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus.
Amen. Let's give Him another hand of praise. Oh, how You're worthy, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to take our prayer request this morning. have a few specials. We want to give ample time for those. I believe the choir has a special, and also Brother Mitchell and Sister Lily have a special for us today. But at this time, we want to make mention of a few folks that are away and traveling. The Knoblocks were requesting prayer. They were away traveling. Just want to make welcome Sister Linda and Brother Warren Brown traveling here to visit with us. Sister Jennifer Irish's mother and stepfather. So it's good to have y'all with us. Amen. Also want to make welcome Rusty and Sean Holly. It's good to have them here with us. Those are some family of ours. Always good to have them. Amen. Want to remember Sister Arwen Cockman in prayer. I believe Brother John requested prayer for her as well. Amen. That's all the specials that I have at this time. I was going to ask Brother Larry Pruitt if he would be ready to come forward and take those special needs. Let's sing that song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. From heaven to earth to show the way from the to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Sing it again now. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, yes. You came from heaven.
Unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands. I mean, God knows the needs.
Let's all pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for getting us to another year, Lord. And this year is almost over, Lord, and just thank you for keeping us through this year. Lord, we've been blessed. We've had a lot of wrecks in the church where people could have been hurt, could have been killed, Lord, and you just brought them through this trials in their life, Lord. We just want to give you praise, Lord, for that. Lord, I just want to thank you for taking care of me this year, Lord. And I've been blessed, Lord. And my wife had good help this year, Lord. And she came through surgery, and I just want to give you praise for that. We just want to give you praise and glory for all the ones that's traveling, Lord. Each name was called out this morning, Lord. We just plead the blood because you said in your Bible, Lord, if stripes we were healed, Lord, and we believe that. We take you at your word, Lord, and we believe that. Bless everyone who's come out this morning, Lord, and keep them safe as they go home today, Lord. And everything that's accomplished here, we'll give you praise and glory for it all. We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Larry. You may have your seats. Just before the choir comes to sing, if they would be making their way, I'd like to sing that song, Here We Are in Your Presence. The children's choir. Amen.
Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands.
appreciate the effort that went into the choir there. Amen. Really enjoy the children singing. Amen. God bless you all. We'll sing a song just before Mitchell and Ashley make their way forward. I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Fathom the depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in all of you. Holy God, to you all praises due. I stand in all of you. Why don't we sing out once again? You are beautiful beyond description. Marvelous, Lord, wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? The depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above.
Thank you. child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping.
Helpless and hungry, lowly, afraid, wrapped in the chill of midwinter, comes now among us, born into poverty's embrace, new life for the world.
Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor. What child is this who lays to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems while shepherds watch are keeping?
Who is this?
Shepherds guard and angels sing.
This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of
the babe, the
child
of
Mary.
So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him.
So bring
the thirsty who seek peace, those with nothing to offer. Strengthen the feeble, say to frightened hearts, fear not, fear not.
Who is this who lives with the lowly, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor, a child of the poor,
the babe, the son of Mary.
Let's all stand, have our deacons come forward at this time, please, and we'll take up our morning offering. I'd like to sing that song, Think About His Love. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in prayer, brother? Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us home. For as high as the heavens above, once again now as Brother Barry comes.
Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His
for that love this morning, Lord, and we ask now that You would just move among us, Lord, in a special way, in a personal way. Break the bread of life to us, to heal our bodies, and Lord, to speak to us as only the Holy Spirit can. You still are all You ever were. You still are the teacher, the comforter. You are our leader. You are our Father. You are one who dissolves all doubts. And Lord, You're the one who is able to pour oil upon the troubled waters. And in Jesus' name today, we celebrate this time together, Lord, and give You our undivided attention. We just surrender our hearts and minds to You. Forgive us, Lord, of anything that may be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, we present every concern to You because we do believe that You are a rewarder of them who diligently seek You. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that You would just have the freedom to move among us today and speak to every heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wonder, can we sing that little chorus, "I'm Gonna Make It"? He's already said I would. Let's sing that this morning together.
I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. That He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me. Heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it.
Sing it one more time now. Thank You, Jesus. We believe in the Lord this morning.
Yes, I'm going to make it. He's already said that I would. And I'll keep on trusting that He's working it. Beside me, I'm gonna make it.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible this morning, and we'll read just before you're seated, because I'd like to begin as quickly as possible here this morning. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning, and we appreciate each and every one of you being here, our guests and visitors, and I don't want to start mentioning names because I know I'll miss somebody, but you're all welcome under this welcome, and may God bless all of you here today. We certainly miss Brother Mike Pritchard. I don't think they're here this morning. Are they coming this morning? Brother Mike's mother was in the ER last night till the wee hours of the morning, and very extremely high blood pressure, and they let her finally go back home, and just some other complications there, so we want to remember them in prayer, if you don't mind. We're going to have one service today, so I want you to keep your Bible handy. We're going to look at a number of scriptures here this morning, and we'd like to begin in 1 John chapter 3, and we'd like to take just one verse there this morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Let's read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And notice this connection. Therefore, or because of that, this now is also true. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Sister Fulcher's condition continues to decline. Sister Becky is not with us today. She's spending all the time she can with her mom and caring for her with our caregivers. And so we just would value your prayers and appreciate the concern that people have shown already. And we really, really do appreciate that as a family. And Sister Fulcher is a very, very special person. And so we just want to hold her up in prayer. And we're just praying that the Lord's will would be done. We miss Brother Tom and Sister Kim today, but they're listening. And we certainly trust that they'll have a blessed holiday out there with the Franklins. And we greet them this morning. Today is a special day for a couple of different reasons. And one of the reasons is that it's Henry Coffey's birthday. And Henry came today not just because it's his birthday, but because he got to sing today with the choir. And I would say this to the senior choir, watch out. There's somebody on your heels. I was impressed. I'll tell you what, Sister Anna, that was just tremendous this morning. And may the Lord bless you. And that's a great job this morning, especially for the first time doing that out the gate. That's a high standard to raise, and we appreciate that. Henry, how old are you today? 5 years old. He was waiting for me to ask him that. Yes, sir. God bless you, Henry. Ron and Tina Knobloch are not with us today. They are celebrating their anniversary on the 24th, which is tomorrow, and they are away for the weekend. Hope Adriel, it's a birthday here today. How old for Hope? 1 year old. Best year of her life, she said. And December 26th, the world took a turn. History of the world took a turn. When Emma Rose McCafferty was born on December 26th. Emma, how old are you? 5, going on 25. God bless you, Emma. 27th of December, John Harwell was born. And John conveniently slipped out of the room. 28th of December, Jeff Jackson celebrates a birthday. How old are you, Brother Jeff? Somebody wake him up. 47 years old. Wow. That's old. God bless you, Brother Jeff. We appreciate you and your wife and family very much. And may the Lord bless you and give you a wonderful day. We've been dealing a little with this subject this morning of who rules. And Wednesday night, if you were here, we did a little review and then jumped into a little bit of new material. And so I want to springboard from that this morning. And this is just something that has really caught my attention, and I want to just see if we can share this the way the Holy Spirit's dealt with my heart, because this is kind of a special day for me personally, and I just want to see if we can say this in the right way. Let me give you just two or three screens here, going back and looking at this whole idea of the rulership of God. And we know that whenever there's a ruler, there has to be the ruled. You can't have a ruler without the ruled. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the ruler. He is the one who, not as we think in the English language, when we say ruler, we often think of the word dictator. We think of something oppressive. But in the Bible, a ruler is something different. A ruler is more like a shepherd, one who leads and guides and nurtures and provides the best thing for somebody because they are the ruler. And so we believe the Holy Spirit is the ruler of the body of Christ. He's the ruler of the church. How many would believe that? And he's a personal ruler. He's one who is very concerned about what you're going through personally and all that you have need of. And he's a provider. He is he is still referred to as Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides supernaturally for us. And if he is the ruler, then there has to be a group of people who are identified as the ruled or the governed, the ones who are led by the leader. In our world today, things have come to the place where it looks like that the Holy Spirit has possibly lost control. And Brother Branham even makes that analysis. He makes that observation. And he simply says it this way. And the world seems to be in the most evil age that ever was. And never in any age did women act like that in their immorality. And never just before the destruction of the antediluvian world, Jesus referred to it. And had God lost control, or is he just permitting another agency to control? Is this somehow in the coordinated plan of God where there is an overarching influence that's in the world that makes it look like God's lost control? We know God has not lost control. But we do know that Satan is the god of this evil age, and so therefore there's an overarching influence that he has in our world. But one day that will stop. One day that will end. Aren't you glad that will end? And that'll be called heaven when that ends, and it'll be all over then. There'll be no tempter there. And so we've referred to this statement many times. And then Paul also tells us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "Ye brethren, the believers, the body of Christ, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are all children of light, children of the day, are not of the night nor of darkness. And therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So we are not a people unaware, ignorant and unaware of what it is that's taken place in our day. We've moved into a time, and God's given us awareness of what that time would be like, and then the time to come. Because God always forewarns his people and lets us know exactly what has taken place or where we are on the timeline, and that's a very important thing. So because we are children of light, that light only comes because of God's word being revealed to us. And as David says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And the word light, and I'm just reviewing here, so I'm basically reading some of these things here. The light is the brightness that enables sight in darkness. It is in Scripture, or it is in the Bible. It is the thing which is a symbol of the presence of God. And this is the thing that's really gotten my attention lately. In a fallen world, the presence of God becomes a very important thing, an even more critical thing than maybe we could understand. And if light is the presence of God, or represented by the presence of God, then darkness would be the absence of God. And a place where God is not welcome, for instance, is a very dangerous place to be. And the world, as we know, is moving towards this place of darkness continually. And the people of God, we enjoy the light, we love the light, and we want more light. We want more of that which God has given to us. This illumination that God's given to us is something that we value and we esteem very highly. And so we want more of it. The world, though, it seems to be irreversibly moving into a place of darkness, and that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing to watch and a sad thing to see. As a matter of fact, because we know that that is a reality, it is even more incumbent upon us, or more of a burden for me, to see that people are rescued from that darkness, because we know where that's going to take the world. It's going to take him into the tribulation, right? After the bride leaves, there's nothing left on this earth but tribulation outside of Israel. And so therefore, we become a little more sensitive to this whole idea of darkness and light. It isn't just a theoretical thing here we find in Scripture. But I want you to just take a note of a couple of more statements here. In 1965, Brother Branham said the doctors take instruments and they try to find what's wrong with a person. He said they can't do it. Really, they can't do it in a perfect way. But he said then the Holy Spirit comes out and reveals what he is and exposes him. That's what the Word of God is. It's a light that shines in darkness. Now, many times a doctor, a surgeon would have to, nowadays our technologies are better to be able to look inside of a person and to be able to see what's going on prior to going in. In the old days, the only way they had to deal with what was wrong on the inside was to go in and take a look. And nowadays, we're better at making an assessment before we get there. But still, there are some things. I remember when they worked on my shoulder a couple of years ago. The doctor said, you have this wrong with your shoulder. And the wearing down, wear and tear on your shoulder and so forth. And he said, that's gone on. So we're going to go in and do this and this and this. We'll fix it. And when he was all done, he came out and told me in the recovery area, he said, we did it. We went in, we reattached everything that was supposed to be attached and put everything back where it was supposed to be, but it was much worse than what we thought. And he said, we just couldn't tell by the assessment we made, by the MRIs and the scans they did. They said, we knew there was a problem, but we never knew the extent of it. We had to go in and actually see it, and then we knew what the extent of the problem was. Now, Brother Bram's making a contrast between that and how God's Word operates. God's Word is it's like a sword, and it is able to pierce all the way down to the joint and the marrow, the bone, all the way down to the inside, and it's able to look and expose something perfectly and expose the cause of the problem and the remedy for the problem. That's what God's Word is. It's a light that shines in darkness. I believe that that process is still very true today. I believe that process is very real today. And the Word of God is still a light. It's still able to penetrate. It's still able to discern and come out with the right conclusion or the right assessment for every one of us in terms of what we have need of. And I believe it's able to prescribe the remedy as well. And Brother Bam says the God of heaven has sent his light in this last day that he might lighten the path for his children. That's us he's speaking about, right? Everybody with me now. Everybody's here. The Sylvesters are here. Everybody's here. The God of heaven has sent his light in this last day that he might lighten the path for his children, that they might not walk in darkness and stumble, but that they might walk in the light of the shining of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God has actually done this and done this in an extraordinary or an exceptional way in the last day to give us light in great darkness, so great darkness that we have around us. But in that day, God has provided great light for us that we might not walk in that darkness and stumble. Because if you walk in that darkness, no matter how enlightened you think you are, you're probably going to wind up stumbling. There's no way mentally or intellectually you're going to be able to figure this out. You can't exempt yourself from God's process and make it into God's kingdom. You're not going to be able to do it. Because God never gave it to the intellect of man to figure that out. You need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need to have a new birth that puts Christ on the inside, right? And that gives you that light. That gives you that direction. And then as the Holy Spirit grows and it becomes stronger in our lives, the entrance of God's Word, it gives us light. That's what the Scripture teaches us. And so God has made a way for us to be able to walk in the light of His Word. And that's a wonderful thing. Along that pathway, as Paul says, we have boundaries that God has put in place for us. These are rules. These are, as Paul describes here. And he says we should mind the same thing. Therefore, an absolute becomes an absolute for all of us. Not just for those who enjoy that absolute, but disagree with this absolute. I mean, it's either right or it's not right. I said either the message is right or it's not right. The Bible is right or it's not right. I believe that Brother Branham was either very right or very wrong, one or the other. And you got to decide that. I believe that the message is very right. I believe God sent a prophet in this last day, and it's very true. And that rod is that which measures. It also provides a boundary for us. It provides that thing that helps us to know what our limits are. We would never know. We would never know really what would be pleasing to God unless we had boundaries laid down wherein we could walk. And God wants you to stay within those boundaries in all circumstances, no matter what happens in life, no matter where life takes you. Now, in the Church Age book, Brother Branham said it's not joining a church that counts. How many believe the church is important? Church is important. The gathering of God's people is important. Because we have a promise that where God's people are gathered, there He would be in their midst. And so the church building itself is not something that we really should become overly enamored with. It is rather making sure that we're in Christ. And the life is not in the church. The life is in Christ. We're better off when we come together as a body, and we're better off when we join our hearts together. I mean, you don't have this kind of fellowship. You don't have this kind of atmosphere in your house. There's just something special when believers get together. Man is made by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead that indwells us and makes us holy with His holiness. And sometimes it's wayward teaching that can somehow give people the wrong idea about church. And there's a lot that's said about this church. And there's all of us have come from one or another, come out of some background and so forth. And we wind up here. We know, and I've taught you very thoroughly, at least I've repeated myself very, very consistently, that this is not our final destination. This church here, this building is not your final destination. We've got another one that we're going to. We've got another place that we're going to. And God only has us here for a season that we might learn and grow and use as a stepping stone to get to the next place that God has for us. We know that we have experiences when we come to church. And so therefore, you know, there's a lot of good things we can say about church. But think about it this way. Brother Branham taught us this way, that the church ages began on a foundation and they built all the way to a point where Christ could unite with that church and then eventually take her away. So the ecstasy that the people of a certain age felt became the base upon which the next age would stand. Right? So the people in Martin Luther's day, they had an experience or a revelation of justification. Well, that God didn't stop there. But the folks that followed Wesley came and stood on that foundation and then went a step higher. And then the Pentecostal people stepped higher from that, right? And so that's not to do away with or lessen the experience or the ecstasy that one age felt and make us somehow feel like we're superior to them. No, our step would not be possible had not they had their ecstasy or their experience with God. Are we okay? It all works together, doesn't it? It all works together to move the body to the right place. And we are made by the Holy Spirit, and God raises the body until it comes to its completion, and then finally we're taken off the face of the earth. Like I say, wrong teaching sometimes can put a wrong taste in our mouth about church, but I guess I'm old-fashioned to believe that it's good for us to be in church. I think we should be here. I appreciate you coming this morning. I was looking for something yesterday, and I found this statement on the Internet. It was a kind of a nice, fancy, swirly sign that was on the Internet. I wasn't looking for this quote, but I found it. And when I found it, I read it. It said, the church will only confuse you. Christ can take you to heaven and Him alone. I thought, well, Brother Branham said it. That's all was in the quote. It was a sign that you could get and you could put, I guess you could print out and put up in your house or something. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, is that it? And I went to look for this. I went to look for where Brother Branham actually said it because I wanted to read the whole thing. Take a look at what he said. This is the message, Diseases and Afflictions. And Brother Branham's giving an altar call. And he says, I know nothing about any of you. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's not the first part of that quote here. If you don't mind, just give me a... Yeah, here you go. Sorry, it's out of order. Brother Branham's in the altar call. He's saying, remember, the morning may be too late. Don't wait. Don't put off your decision for Christ. He said, at 11 tonight, it may be too late. An ambulance may be screaming and blood running out of your vessels and so forth, and you're gone. What did he say? If you won't accept me now and neglect me, he says, in the days that you are now, in the days of your calamity, I'll only laugh at you. And he's referring to the scripture. He says, what would it be if you were a cold, formal church member sitting here expecting the church to take you to heaven? The church will only confuse you. If that's the message of the church, then the church would confuse you. Christ can take you to heaven and him alone. Does that make a little more sense to you? Now, what I come to find out was that this person who had put this thing on the internet was a person who, guess what, didn't even go to church. So if you just take that statement, then, you know, I mean, that would be the justification for it. But Brother Branham's not saying that people shouldn't go to church. You know, there are some confused people in churches. But there's some confused people who don't go to church. And there's some people who got it straight who go to church. And some people who got it straight who don't. But I will tell you something, that it's God's order for us to be in the place that God's ordained. Right? All right. Now, let me just say this. As I said Wednesday night, the great thing about a believing group of people who come together as the body of Christ, when the right message is declared, believers then are able to enter into and obtain, they're able to enter into the presence of God and obtain the things that they seek for. That there is, I believe, when believers get together, there should be among us a release of the supernatural or a presence of the supernatural that is not found when you're in an atmosphere of unbelief. So, for instance, there's a different atmosphere here when we come together than you would find in your classroom or that you would find at your workplace. The priorities are different. The values are different. The conversation is different, right? In other places. But when we come together, believers come together, and the message which is correct, the right message is declared, and the message is believed and accepted because we believe that it actually does come from God, then therefore there is something that is available to the people of God that he wants us to enjoy that is able to provide. It's able to provide answers to questions that you have. It's able to provide healing for the human body. Do you believe that? It's also able to provide direction for people that seek it, but all the way down to providing rapturing faith for those people that are going to live in the last day and their bodies are going to be changed. We believe that rapturing faith lays in this message. And it's a believing atmosphere where the message is declared correctly and the message is presented correctly, that in that atmosphere of believing, that there is a consequence to that. There is something that God releases to us that I don't think that we should be reluctant to enjoy and reluctant to enter into. It is not our responsibility here this morning just to stay awake for an hour and then figure out where we're going to go to lunch. I believe there's more to our gathering than that. And I believe that God wants us to not only to enjoy his presence, but to be able to utilize that presence and to be able to benefit from it, because we are a people who live in a fallen world and we're still in human bodies and we'll always have needs among us, right? But I believe that God's a healer the same today as he ever was. I believe that he's a restorer of joy today, same as he ever was. I believe that God is someone who delights in the worship of his people, the same as he ever was. How many can say amen? I believe that God is one who's interested in delivering those that are bound, whether you're bound by stuff on the internet or whether you're bound by your past or whether you're bound by fear or whatever else. I believe that God's a deliverer. I believe he's the one who's able to release us from those things that bind us. I believe that all of that is the same today as it ever was. And as I said to you as well, that the Holy Spirit in presenting his word and the message to us is never going to let us off with just having the understanding of the theory of the message of the hour. But I believe that there has to be a claim in the natural realm that justifies the thing that we claim in the unseen realm. Now, if you don't mind, take your Bible and let's go to 1 John chapter 4. I mentioned this on Wednesday night, and I'm just kind of reaching back a little bit just to make sure we're placed correctly here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" There has to be a claim in the unseen realm. In other words, there has to be an acceptance of God's word in your heart. But the Holy Spirit just doesn't leave us there. Because anybody can say that. Anybody can say, I believe the message, and I'm a Christian, and I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the Holy Spirit is not going to let us off doing is just stopping there. There has to be an expression, there has to be an outworking of the unseen, or the claim you make lacks credibility. There's a lot of people that will say, well, I'm a Christian, and they have a temper that, you know, would fight a chainsaw or whatever else. There's no amendment of their life over their lifetime. Then there has to be more that the Holy Spirit needs to do in that person's life. The problem is when a person's been that way all their life, it's very difficult for them to change. Not impossible, because with God all things are possible. But the Holy Spirit does not let us off with just the intellectual theory and a hope for a world to come and not apply that word in our own lives today. I believe that God wants to see himself on display. If you like, I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. I believe the Holy Spirit's in me by promise and by virtue of what the Scripture says and by virtue of our own experience that, if we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we surrender our life to him, then he would give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, it's not me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And I believe that that promise is true, but he wants out. I said that promise is true. I believe I have Christ in me, but he wants out. It's not good enough for me just to say, I know how he got in. I believe he wants to come out. I believe he wants to be on display. How many can say amen? Now, as I mentioned to you before, there is, and if maybe we could look at it in the scripture here. Brother Branham says in diseases and afflictions here, just one quote before we turn back in Isaiah. He says, I know nothing about any of you, but he tells you the kind of disease that you have in your body because your life is subject to that. God has sent down to discern it. So the life that you have, no matter who you are, God sent that life, and so therefore the Holy Spirit's able to discern that. And then the things that you've done in your life, it's done by the power of God. Then I can tell whether it's there or whether it's gone. And you can see it by a physical result shown. When the Holy Spirit affects a life, there is a result of that shown. You can see the patient when his body becomes straight and normal, his eyes open, his ears become unstopped. There's a physical manifestation. I believe this, and I want to say this just as sensitively as I can, and we'll develop it here a little bit, that when the Holy Spirit comes, it is not just an intellectual experience or something that we have right here. I believe that the Holy Spirit really has the freedom to work in our lives. It's going to demand expression. As I said on Wednesday night, holiness demands expression. The life of the Holy Spirit demands expression in our life. He's not in there just to hide. He's in there to express himself to the rest of the world. And a lot of times we become reluctant even to say those words, but Brother Branham often would say, the same thing that the Scriptures echo. Like Jesus would say back in the book of John. He says, you folks that are looking at me, you religious people that are looking at me, he says, what you need to do is go search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. So, in other words, this is what he was telling them, that the Bible said certain things, and everybody would agree that those things are true. The Bible says certain things and prophesied certain things. Jesus is now the fulfillment of those prophecies that are done. But he doesn't stop there. He's not just saying, I'm coming along making the claim that I'm the Messiah. There are demonstrations. There are visible works that accompany that claim. And so therefore he says, you search the Scriptures and see whether these things be so. But you can also see, like,
like they asked John. Jesus sent his disciples to ask John in the prison. Go back and ask John, who does he think I am? Go back and ask John, who is the one that came? And hey, the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and so forth. It is not just an intellectual process, but there are manifestations of the Spirit in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that make it something that's indisputable. So we have the prophecy, but we have the works that accompany that. Now, I believe that same Spirit is in the church. Brother Bram said you can see it by physical results that are shown. Now, in Isaiah chapter 32, we looked at chapter 31 and 32 on Wednesday night. The palaces, he said, would be forsaken and the multitude of the city be left. And the forts and the towers shall be for dens forever and a joy of wild asses and a pasture of flocks. He said, until the Spirit poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. That we are what we are until the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We are, as it were, barren land. We don't produce anything of any value until the Holy Spirit comes on high. Until the Spirit be poured on us from on high. And then, he says, the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And if you are a fruitful field, it'll turn into a forest. So in other words, as good as we are, the Holy Spirit makes our lives better. Watch what the Holy Spirit will do when he comes into your life. And you may have been a good churchgoer, and you may have been a good person, but watch what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in and actually takes up residence in your life. He actually makes you a better person. And no matter where we are in the spectrum, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it will actually make us greater. Then judgment will dwell in the wilderness, and the righteous man remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he actually has that effect of making things better in our lives and causing us to grow in ways that we probably never even imagined. But the Holy Spirit has done that. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you have grown in understanding since you knew the Lord? And even in your last 5 years, we can honestly say we've grown in understanding. We've grown in maturing and in developing our understanding and so forth. And it isn't because we're smart or somehow or another we've got an intellectual foot up on everybody else. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that reveals himself to us and shows us things and teaches us things. And we have to give him credit for that. It's the Holy Spirit in our lives, for sure. We cannot bring God down to our level of thinking. I'm just reading the yellow part here. We cannot bring him to our level of thinking. We've got to raise up to his level of thinking and to meet him on the grounds that he provided us to meet him on. Without the Holy Spirit, you'd never know where to find him. You'd never know what it is that he's actually saying. But there's something that rings true when a son of God encounters the word of God. Somehow or another, my sheep know my voice and a stranger they won't follow. When real believers hear the message that's presented, and the message that's presented right, then it's going to connect people with the Almighty. It connects people and presents, if you like, an opportunity for the supernatural to be done. And in that environment, I believe that there are good things that can happen. And I think some of you are looking at me funny because this is not a kind of a language that we normally talk about, because sometimes we feel like, our responsibility is to be good church members, to pay our tithes, to read our Bible and pray every day, and those things are all good, those things are all right, and to attend every potluck, and to be here when every event goes on, and to, give our time for service and to contribute, and all of those things that are great. But I will tell you what, I believe that God's got more in store for us than just to gather. When you have the right leadership and people gather, the people can be motivated to do certain things. We're going to have a special camp meeting, or we're going to have a kids program, or we're going to have an event. We're going to build a fellowship hall or whatever else. When you have the right leadership and people are pulling together, we can contribute that way. And I think that's great. But I just want to say this to you this morning, and I believe that all of this is made possible by the birth of Christ. That when you take a look at the genealogy of the birth of Christ, outside of a few people that we recognize in that genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and so forth, a lot of those people really were just ordinary men. They were ordinary individuals that were elected and selected by God's predestinated plan to fulfill a certain part, to allow the life of God to pass through until it came right to Joseph, who was nothing more than a carpenter in the city of Nazareth, in the little town of Nazareth. And then all of a sudden, to him and Mary are born the Christ child. To him and Mary are born this one. Now, he's not the father of Jesus, as we know. But God has a way, all I'm simply saying is that God has a way of taking ordinary things and by the Holy Spirit, doing extraordinary things only because we believe. So it is a good thing for us in the church to contribute and to give. But that's not what I really think God's got us together for. I really think the purpose of the Bride of Christ is for the Holy Spirit to come in a special way and to be able to cause us to do things that are not in the ordinary run-of-the-mill kind of things that people do. You know, to be good church members and to pay our tithes and so forth. There's a lot of churches that teach you should pay your tithes and have the King James Version and, you know, have a potluck. I mean, there's a lot of churches that are good at potluck. Potlucks will kill you. But nonetheless, there's a lot of people who are good at them. We're real good at them. But I believe that God wants us to, listen, I believe that God wants us to be overcomers. You got to think about this for a moment here. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to be overcomers. And to be an overcomer, it's really got to be something greater than what I'm able to do. Because if I'm able to do it, if I'm able to overcome things, then I don't need the Holy Spirit. But there are times when there are onslaughts, there are attacks against the church, there are demon spirits that exist that fight against your family and fight against your children and fight against you. And there are things that are out there. I believe that only through the Holy Spirit is He able to anoint us to be able to overcome things that we ordinarily, humanly speaking, would not be able to overcome. And I think one of the other things that we've got to do is overcome this body and this world and this flesh right here and one day step into that dimension on the other side. And that's going to come by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to do it on our level. We're going to do it on His level. Now, let me just skip for a moment here. Excuse me, let me just make this jump. To the day, I would say to the hour, 39 years ago, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today, December 23rd. And I appreciate Peter and Rachel having Henry on this day. It makes it extra special for him to be born on this day. But this was the day that God really began to turn my life around. And this is a picture of me that I was in college. Over that time, and the search that I had, as most of you have heard the testimony, but the search that I had was for something that was real, for something that was true. I'd traveled a lot, and I'd experienced a lot. I was in college and had a scholarship that I could study anywhere in any university in Canada for free, and I thought, well, okay, I could do that, and then I could get a Volkswagen or a Volvo station wagon and a dog and get married and have two kids, a boy and a girl, and I could live in the suburbs and just kind of live my life out. And I saw a lot of people do that. I saw a lot of my friends actually do that. And there was something in me, which I now know was a thirst of God. There was something in me that really wanted something better, something more, something real. I wanted something that was bigger than me. And it was then that God began to deal with my brother, and then, of course, it came down to me, and he gave me a church age book, and I read that and began to see things very differently. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart and brought me to the place where I surrendered my life to him. And the rest, I guess you'd say, the rest is history. But I will tell you something, that when we come to this story of, God doing extraordinary things with extraordinary people, we've got to be careful that we don't leave that in the realm of prophets and famous men in the Bible or famous women in the Bible, that God only uses people like that. I'm here to tell you that God uses people like this. And God can take somebody like that and turn them into something that he can use for his glory. And I believe that when he comes upon a person, the impossible can happen. I believe the supernatural can happen. God can take somebody who's born in the world without any connection with God or without any connection at all to the church or the end time movement or Brother Branham's ministry, have absolutely nothing in any way, any connection to that at all, but can take that kind of a person and by the working of the Holy Spirit can turn him or her into a child of God and allow them to be able to walk in the light that God has provided in this day so we don't stumble. I'd like to say this morning, I can't remember who said it. I think it was Brother Larry said it in his prayer that, when we look back over a year and we thank God for the things that he's done, I'd like to thank God for the last 39 that has allowed me by his grace to be able to walk in that light continually. And I'm glad to say that I'm not where I was 39 years ago, but now God's, he's shown me things and he's allowed me to do things. And he's allowed me to help people in certain ways. Recently I was overseas and somebody said to me, they came to me, and it was an older sister, and she said, I've never told you this. She said, I've never had an opportunity to tell you this. I think it was in Norway. And she said, you came to a meeting years ago and you preached on a certain thing. And she said, you had no idea what I was going through. You had absolutely no idea what I was experiencing. And she said, you came with a word and ministered in such a way that I felt like there was only you and me that was in the room. And she said, it just dissolved that problem that I had. I realized that God was mindful of it. And I realized that God's able to speak and to be able to pour oil on my life and to be able to calm things down. And she said, I my life took a turn right then. And she said, it's been successful ever since. I've never had that problem ever since again. Now, let me tell you something, folks, and let's be clear on this. So, that's not anything that I knew. That's not. She's telling me this about 25 years later. And many times when I travel overseas and I'll get over there, many times I'll say to people, hey, and often pray this way, that Lord, these people have come to this meeting expecting to hear from you. And you brought me all the way across the waters and across the continents here to come and stand before these people here to bring them a word. And when they look up, they're only going to see me. And it's natural that they would be disappointed because it's only me. But Lord, you can say a word and you can take control of this situation here because I don't know. And you're the one who's able to anoint me to be able to do something good for these people. And Lord, I'm commissioned here, like Jesus said, to let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and behold your Father in heaven. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. And I will tell you something that, there's a lot of people that would sit there and be blessed by the word of God or by the laying on of hands or some other supernatural act of God that was done. And look, once you get to know me, you realize, hey, that's pretty good. That can't be Brother Barry. That's got to be something better than Brother Barry on the go. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. And folks, I'm just being honest with you. That's how God works. He takes ordinary people, and it's the atmosphere of believing that we create that allows the supernatural to begin to work in your life. It absolutely is. Take your Bible for a moment. I don't think I have it on the screen here, but if you don't mind, take your Bible and let's just go to Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and this is John giving detail about the time that Jesus came and came to the river. John chapter 1 and verse 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bore record of that this is the Son of God. Notice in verse 33 again. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining. The Spirit remaining. I think it's a very important little statement there that is made. That on the Spirit of, on Jesus, the one that you see, that the Spirit of God comes and remains. In other words, Jesus lived his life and walked in a way that the Holy Spirit remained on him all the days of his earthly ministry. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove, and a dove is a very skittish bird. It's not going to fly away. It's not going to stay in the midst of trouble or loud noises or confusion. It's going to fly away. But the Holy Spirit came on Jesus and anointed him and remained. And I think that's an interesting thing, because it means that no matter what he went through, there was nothing that came out of him that grieved the Holy Spirit or frightened the Holy Spirit away. There was no response of him. There was tumult all around him, but there was no response from him that grieved that dove away. It remained on him. Wow. All right, let's just do this. Let's just pretend. Let's just say that this is the Holy Spirit, and it lands on me. Let's just say for a moment here. If I want the Holy Spirit to remain, but I got to go down the stairs, how am I going to go down? Guys, how am I going to go down the stairs? What? Slowly, carefully, right? So I'm going to go down carefully because I don't want to lose this. In other words, let's say it this way. Every step I take, I have to have the Holy Spirit in mind. If I've got the Holy Spirit and I want him to remain, because I can grieve him away, right? The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. But if I want him to stay, every step I have to consider the Holy Spirit. I have to make sure that he's there every step of the way. So in other words, every argument, every disagreement, every struggle that I face, everything that I get into, my responses always should be with the Holy Spirit in mind. Not whether I win or lose the argument. Hey, I've argued with people and put a real good argument out front and been wrong. Found out later I was wrong. It's not my ability to argue. It's not my ability to be successful. It's not my ability to be persuasive. Every step, I got to consider the Holy Spirit, and that's what's more important. Because I am called to be like Him. Or we say it this way, all that God was, He poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, He poured into the church. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit is in me, then I will tell you this. I just want to say this because you've seen the picture and there's a story behind it and all the rest of it. I want to know Him because it's Him. I want to know Him more because it's Him. I want to know Him more because the more I get to know Him, the more I love Him. And if you don't mind, I'd like to spend the rest of my life introducing him to other people and telling other people how great he is, because I think he's worth it. The more I get to know him, the more I realize how absolutely tremendous the Lord Jesus Christ actually is. I believe his word is perfect. I believe the Bible astounds me. The Bible actually amazes me at how perfect it is. And then when you go through it and you have kind of a basic understanding of things, it's almost like he just lifts you a little higher. And there's so much more in the Bible that you never saw before. And it begins to open up to you. And then as you keep walking in it, more unfolds and reveals itself. How many of you can relate to that? I mean, we've been preaching out of this Bible for a long time. We've been reading out of it for a long time. And yet it's still, you know, we come to church and it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal and show us things. And even Brother Branham said that'll continue on out to the millennium. And so I want to know him because it's him. But I will tell you something. The Holy Spirit comes on us for others. Now, I need you to think about this for a moment, because these are all familiar passages to you. If you don't mind, Take your Bible. I'd like you to look at this with me here in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. My intent is not to keep you long at all this morning, but I just want a few more minutes here, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 5, and these are all familiar stories and incidences in the life of Jesus, but in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Jesus is on the way. He's on the way to Jairus' house, who is a ruler in the synagogue, because his daughter is at the point of death. And so he comes to Jesus and asks him, and this is interesting because he asks him, would you come and exercise your gift and lay your hands on my daughter and so forth. I pray that you would come and do that, that she might be healed in verse 23. That was his request to Jesus. So he's accessing something from Jesus because he recognizes Jesus can do this. He can do this. Now I need you to watch this. And as he's leaving, there are all kinds of people that go with him. 24 says that Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and they thronged him. And to throng Jesus would have meant that, if you guys don't mind, here's people there. They're trying to get over here to get to Jesus because they want to touch him. And their physics, sorry, you all right? Welcome to the front row. They're pushing people out of the way to get to Jesus. This is a physical thing. There's much people around them, but they're wanting to get him right there. They want to get right next to him because they want to you know, do this. And they want to tell people, I was with Jesus along the road. And, you know, I mean, the people are fascinated by him because nobody's ever done anything like this before. And so Jairus asks him the question, and Jesus says, well, I'll come and lay hands on him and on your daughter. And so they go. And all these people are gathered around. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that, one woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. And immediately the Bible says that virtue went out from him. Now, that's an amazing thing because this is not something that Jesus is doing for her. This is something that she believes she can do. I can touch him and something will happen. Something will come to me. In other words, he's got the spirit without measure. Let me say it in this way. Let me paraphrase it. He's got the spirit without measure. And he has that for others. He has that for others. He doesn't have that just for him. He has that for others. And I believe if I can touch that, tap into that, then something would overflow to me. Now, he's got the spirit without measure. So he can't not have the spirit without measure. It doesn't, he's now not 97% filled, but rather this is an overflow that comes to her so that she's blessed. She's got a touch that only the Holy Spirit can give. And he's still Jesus. He's not 97%. He's still Jesus. Isn't that right? But the process of that act of faith occurring there, it stops him right in his pathway. And he says, someone touch me. Well, that's silly. All kinds of people are thronging you. No, but he says, somebody touch me in a certain way. In other words, somebody has received something from me in a way that ordinary touching doesn't bring. This is a touch of faith. So in other words, he has the Spirit because of who he is. But that Spirit is upon him for us. Take it a step further. All that was in him is now in the church. So therefore, the Holy Spirit that you have is in you because that's the promise. He would be in you, to live in you, and to heal and to reveal and to guide you and to lead you. And he does that. And to change your life and help you walk down the way of holiness. That's what the Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? Come on, folks. Anybody alive out there today? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's in me to do something. But he's not only here for me. He's here for me and the people whom God will bring across my pathway. So that I can witness to other people, so that I can lay hands on other people, and I can speak to other people. You say, well, Brother Barry, all right, over in Acts chapter 5, we find, you don't need to turn to it, you know the story, Over in Acts chapter 5, Peter, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, he's walking down the road, and there are people who lay there sick in the shadow of Peter. You know why? Because something that's in Peter is now overflowing to other people who have a need. Peter's not given the Holy Spirit just for Peter. He's given it for them as well. In other words, let me say it this way. You're going to overflow with what overshadows you. If the Holy Spirit overshadows you, then the overflow can actually affect other people around you. And that's why we're given the Holy Spirit. Not just for me to live a good life and to avoid temptation. I'll tell you what, God's given us the Holy Spirit to be able to face sickness and to be able to be an overcomer of things that oppress me in life. God's given us the Holy Spirit that we can go to somebody with confidence and lay hands on them. And you fathers and mothers can lay hands on your children and pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible doesn't say anywhere, if there's any sick among you, go to your pastor. Or wait till a prophet comes. I'm not trying to give everybody wings here and say, you know, go on your ministry and, you know, good luck and have a campaign and buy a tent. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit has given to us for more than just coming to church and trying to stay awake for an hour. I believe the Holy Spirit's given to us to overflow to others in the same way it did in the book of Acts. Can I go a little further? Because over in Acts 19, we find that people there who were sick, they took the garments that were on Paul and they cut them up and they made prayer cloths out of them. And they laid them on people and they were healed. I believe that the Holy Spirit actually sets up encounters for you whereby you are able to affect other people in life. Can I give you an example? Here's Brother Branham. He's a game warden and he's working for the power company. And there's a farmer over here who hasn't paid his bill. He hasn't paid the power bill. And Brother Branham goes to this man because he's under, you know, commission by the power company to go and tell the man he's got to pay up or they're going to cut off the power. This is the 30s and 40s and times are tough. This is the post-depression era. And so times are tough. So he's got to go tell this man that, you know, he's got a, you know, the power is going to be cut off. And as he's on his way to do that, he passes by a house, and he knows that there's somebody who's sick in that house. Brother Bannon, being a game warden, he had a gun belt and gets out of his truck. He stops. He says, I'll go stop, pray for this person first. And he gets out of the truck and takes off his gun belt, and he lays it in the floorboards of the truck. Brother Bannon often carried a gun with him for different reasons, but that day he did, and he took it off, laid it on the floorboards because he didn't need a gun to go pray for somebody who was sick. That's a good thing to remember. And Brother Branham jumps over the fence, takes the shortcut, and now finds himself face to face with a bull that had killed a man. And what this is a classic setup by the Holy Spirit to now show Brother Branham, and consequently to show us, that this Holy Spirit that is given to him is not only to protect him and guide him and lead him, but it overflows even to the animal world. Even to the bull. Because when he realizes that this is the way it is, Sidney Jackson in South Africa said that Brother Branham told him, when he was relating the story, he said, Brother Jackson, he said, as a hunter, I reach for my gun the first thing. And I had taken off my gun and laid it in the floorboards of the car. He said, I didn't have it. So now I'm standing there and I can't run because the animal's going to run after me. And he said, I'm standing there like this in the field, and this bull is pawing the ground and getting ready to run at him. He's already got a reputation of killing somebody, and then we're going to deal with the bull. And here he is standing there all ready to come at Brother Branham, and he knows he's toast unless something happens. And he said something just swept over him, that Holy Spirit came over him, and immediately he began to speak to the bull. Let me tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit is not given just for Brother Branham, but it overflows and it affects people around us. And he spoke to the bull, and the first thing he did was apologize to the bull. He said, Mr. Bull, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you. I came into your area. He says, I'm on my way. I'm a servant of God, and I'm on my way to pray for somebody who's sick over here. He says, I'm sorry to do that. He said, you just turn around and go back to your place of rest there. And he said, that bull just kind of looked at him. Imagine stopping to watch the results. And he's just standing there like this, and he's got that anointing there, that presence that's there. And it had to be God, because the Holy Spirit, I mean, this is not Brother Branham. He said, naturally, I would have shot him and I would have killed him. And he's standing there looking at this bull, and the bull just kind of lowers his head a little bit and just turns around and goes back and lays underneath the tree. Brother Branham walks off the field, jumps the fence, and he said when he got on the other side of the fence, he just sat down on the ground and cried like a baby. Because that whole anointing had just, you know, it had left him, and you know, he's just released from that, and he's just looking at this scene as it is, and my goodness, what just happened? Could it be that the Holy Spirit is given to us more than just to teach us the Bible verses and to help us to avoid temptation? But I believe the Holy Spirit is given to us to overflow, to affect the people around us. Here's Brother Branham in Connecticut. I've mentioned the story recently to you before. Here he is in Connecticut, and he's got a couple there that are on the front row, and they're causing a real distraction. Nobody can stop them. And the Holy Spirit had warned him that there's going to be a trap laid for you. And Brother Branham looks at this, and he realizes this is that trap. This is that situation here. And they're carrying on very immorally in the front of the church there. And Brother Branham's standing there wondering what he should do. And the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, you speak the words, and whatever you say, it'll be done to them. And if you say they'll lose their life, they'll be carried out of here on a stretcher. Whatever you say will be done. And Brother Branham looks at that, and he says, I forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, immediately they got up and left and walked outside the church there. Brother Branham said, that was exactly what he wanted me to do. It's exactly what he wanted me to do. Because the Holy Spirit is given to us more than just for us, friends. All I'm saying to you is that I believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us to affect the world around us. I don't believe that God's given us this message to become defensive Christians, whereby we just barricade ourselves with ourselves, among ourselves, and we don't want to be defiled by touching anything that's unclean. That's an Old Testament view of holiness. That's an Old Testament view of sanctification. That's not a New Testament view. Jesus touched the lepers, and Jesus went to their homes and witnessed to them. He visited people that were not in the church. He actually associated with them, not to become people like them, and not to do the things that they did, and not to be carnal like they were, and not to be sinners like they were, or drinkers like they were. But he went to show the life of God in flesh to a world that was living in darkness. And I read to you the quote, we live in a world that's filled with darkness now, but God's not dealt with you that way. God's given you a great light so that you don't stumble. And so when the spirit of stupid comes on you and you realize with the Holy Spirit, he checks me, we ought to pay attention to that spirit and to check ourselves, because it's easy for this flesh to get involved in things that are not correct. But I will tell you something. If it's a true Holy Spirit, it's always going to guide you by the Word of God. It's always going to be able to be checked by the Word of God to make sure we're doing things that always please the Father. Here's Brother Branham out in Colorado, and he's taking a group of men up in the mountains there. And you folks know the story, you follow the message, you know the story. And here's Brother Branham up there in the mountains, and they forecast a snowstorm coming in. And the snowstorm's a blinding one, and they can't do anything else really but hunker down until the storm is gone. And here's Brother Branham going down, puts his gun in his jacket like that to keep the scope from steaming up. And he's going down over the mountain there, and all of a sudden God speaks to him and says, hey, you've got the power. The Holy Spirit that's in you is able to do more than just understand the Bible. All right, Brother Ram's a prophet. Obviously, he's got a prophetic gift that operates in his life. But now he's able to speak, and he speaks to the storm. God tells him, he says, you speak to the storm, and the storm stops. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a change that takes place, and the sun begins to shine, and, you know, they continue their hunt and then go on out on their appointed time. All right, that's Brother Branham, and we understand that. We get that. But did all of the action of the Holy Spirit stop when Brother Branham died? Did all healing cease? If I understand it right, Brother Branham's not the healer. Never was. Brother Branham was not the discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Holy Spirit is. If that's true, saints of God, I think the Holy Spirit's been given to us for more than just to push us to church. And to make sure that we don't wear a split skirt, or we don't have an earring, or we don't, you know, whatever. That we read the message, we understand the Bible, and we look at it, and we live within the boundaries or the rules that Paul says we have attained the same rule. He says we should walk by it. And God wants us to live according to His Word and to live in a way that pleases the Father all the time. And that's obviously the role of a good son. What I'm saying to you is that I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes, the supernatural is possible. When the Holy Spirit comes, He's able to take an individual, and it doesn't have to be a group, but take an individual like Mary when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and said, "You shall bring forth a son, and His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall be the King of the Most High," and so forth. And to her, her response simply was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." In that atmosphere of belief and accepting God's word and acknowledging and embracing it, God begins to do things in her life. God begins to bring to pass the prophecies that were spoken about her. I guess I'm just simple enough to believe that for us, if our bodies are going to be changed and we're going to be taken out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, if all this is going to culminate in the glorious change that we refer to all the time, if that's going to take place, I believe it's going to take more than just being lectured to. I pray at the end of this year and in the coming year, I pray that God would give us that passion for the Holy Spirit to move on us and move on us individually and move on us as an assembly, that we could affect other people, that we could be a faithful witness to other people in our community, because the rest of the community, if I understand it right, is in darkness. And it's moving towards darker times. And the only hope they have is Christ in us. We all don't have a ministry like Brother Branham. We all don't have a ministry of maybe a member of the fivefold ministry. But you've got a portion of His life in you that is given for you, but upon you, to affect other people. And I don't think we should underestimate that. Because God wants to give you guidance, and He wants to lead you, and He wants to show you the things that are to come. And I believe that as we walk, and as I illustrated, that every move we take, we want to keep the dove in mind. We want to make sure that every move we make, to become that sensitive. Lord, make us that sensitive. Give us a passion to be that sensitive that I'm not doing things because everybody else does it. Or I'm not doing things because I think this is the way that I should go. But I can do nothing but what the Father shows me. And to have that attitude and say, it's not where I want to be, or it's not what job I want to take, or it's not what career I want to obtain or pursue. Every step I take, I want to keep the dove in mind. And I want to make sure He's not grieved away by my decisions or my choices or my responses to things that are out there. But Lord, give me that passion that I'd always be mindful of the Holy Spirit that's there. Because I don't want to grieve Him away. This is not a day to grieve the Holy Spirit away. This is a day to have the Holy Spirit on your side. This is a day when we certainly want to be like Mary and just simply say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And all of that, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, The reason the Holy Spirit is here is because Jesus was here. And He came. And He came in the form that He did, which boggled the minds of the people in the world who were expecting something different. And their expectations were off base because they had it figured out wrong, which often as human beings we do have it figured out wrong. But He came nonetheless according to the Scripture and fulfilled everything He did to make possible the coming of the Holy Spirit, that now you come into play. And all the saints of all the other ages now have played their part, and God's called us onto the stage now, front and center, to fulfill our part in this last day. And don't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor to save us till last. I believe He's here to get us all the way there. But I also believe that even though there's not many left at the top of the pyramid, there's not a whole lot of room at the top of the pyramid for a lot of people. We're still here. And the fact that we're still here means that there's somebody out there stumbling in darkness. And Lord, give me the passion to be the right kind of witness to people so that I can affect others, because I believe the Holy Spirit's given to me for me, but it's given also to affect others around me. Let's stand to our feet. Let's say like Mary in our hearts, be it unto me according to thy word. And ask God to give us that, number one, that sensitivity to say that every move I make, I want to make it with the dove in mind. And secondly, that I would have that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit like Jesus did, that even when somebody touched him, who he didn't know and didn't even expect, but touched him, he could recognize that somehow or another, somebody's affected by what I've got in me. Somebody is able to be affected by something that I've got. And this woman was completely healed because of what he had. Let's sing that little chorus, be it unto me according to thy word, this morning. Sing it together.
Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart truth that sets me free, according to your word.
Let's just take a little time to worship him this morning.
Yes, be it unto me according to your word, according to your word, O Lord, I can stand secure and carve upon. Sets me free according to your word, O Lord. Be it unto me, and this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all. Soul, and I live for you.
shall always be my song of praise. I don't know if Josh, is your wife here this morning? She's here this morning with Annie. Wednesday night, I gave you the prayer request for Annie, and she went off to the urgent care. And when Sister Kristen came home, I called her on the phone, and we were talking together, and she said Annie was diagnosed with RSV, and it takes about 3 weeks or so for that to work out, and that's, you know, just very, very difficult because they, you know, have to sleep sitting up, and you got to watch them and make sure they're okay all through the night. And I encouraged her to go over to Sister Faye's. I think she came over on that Wednesday night. That was my fault. Encouraged her to do that. And because Josh was out of town and so forth. And then they were expecting, you know, 2 or 3 weeks for this thing to pass and to clear up. She's here this morning because she made such an amazing recovery over the last 2 days. And I said to Sister Kristen, I said, we've got people praying. I said, we're going to pray specifically that God will take that thing away. And she's here this morning. I'm thankful for that. You know what? Sometimes I think we underestimate even small things like that. And not small for Kristen and Josh and for Annie. But, you know, it's not a thing on a global scale like maybe Brother Branham did. But you know what? He's still a healer. And God's still able to use us. Which doesn't make us great because it isn't us. It's Him in us. Him in us praying and Him in us, you know, just being a representative of God and believing that God's word is true. Remember, things happen in an atmosphere of belief. Things happen in an atmosphere when people agree together on God's word. That's when we see things happen, folks. And to me as a church, it should be something that's a given. You know that, hey, when God's word is presented, there's an agreement. There's a positive atmosphere that's created. And through that, the Holy Spirit can work. And through that, the Holy Spirit has His way. You know what? I believe we underestimate sometimes what God would be able to do amongst a crowd of people like this, where we're all gathered together in His name, believing in the promises. Hey, these promises are just the same as the one that Brother Branham took and quoted to the people who came in the prayer lines. They're the same ones that were written for the people in the early church or in Luther's time or any other season of life. And God honored the word in other seasons. Why wouldn't God honor it in our time today? You know what it takes is for people to believe it. And in that atmosphere of believing, expect that the supernatural can break through on us and to be able to fulfill and perform those things that God has for us. We believe He's a revealer. We believe He's a teacher. We believe He's a comforter. We believe He's one who's able to heal sick bodies. We believe that. And we believe it partly because we have so much testimony out of Brother Branham's ministry that all of that is true. But I will tell you, God never stopped when Brother Branham left this earth. God is still real and God is alive. And God, I believe, is moving among His bride. We are the people that ought to say, hey, let it happen. Because we'll always have needs among us. There'll always be people that will come to you. And God will set up opportunities in your life for you to be able to overflow and to be able to touch people's lives. I say when those opportunities happen, say, Lord, make me sensitive enough that I can be able to influence other people. I can be able to know when virtue's flown out of me or, you know, something has passed to another person here like Jesus did. In that throng of people, He knew something had changed. Something had happened there. Some other life was affected. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, there's no better day to do it than right now. But if we have, I'll tell you what. The last thing we should be is afraid of this world. The last thing we should be is afraid of this world. Because God's given you the spirit of the overcomer. God's given you the spirit of a conqueror. And the last thing we should be is afraid of this world. We should rather be willing and desirous to affect other people for the kingdom of God. Because if I understand it right, having the Holy Spirit means a portion of the kingdom is actually in you. A portion of the kingdom is actually here this morning. That's pretty amazing. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. It was I do.
not know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And I shall died for me.
Father, as we bow our heads in prayer, Lord, and we end this service today, Lord, we are reminded of your great love to us and all the things you provided for us, Lord, despite us, despite our weaknesses and our failures, Lord, yet you love us so much that, Lord, you have overshadowed us. And Lord, may our shadow affect other people, Lord, towards the kingdom. Lord, may your presence be felt in each life. And Lord, each young person that's here today, deal with their hearts, Lord. And just I ask, oh God, that you would help them at an early age just to yield to you in a very personal way, that Lord, they might be able to affect others, Lord, for good. And let them do it, Lord, with grace and love and patience. And Father God, I pray for every family here, Lord, and every family that's represented, that Lord, your presence might always be welcome in our homes. And that everything we do as a family we keep the dove in mind. And everything we do as a family, Lord, we do because we believe it would be pleasing to you, and it would create an atmosphere into which you can always visit at any time. And Lord, in this busy season when the world is on a certain, operating by a certain pace, Lord, that we might just slow down just a little, enough to acknowledge you, Lord, and your greatness in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our time together today. And Lord, I ask that you would bless all those that are going to be traveling and minister, Lord, to them that they might return home safely. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you have provided for us. And we are certainly reminded of it in this season, Lord. You've been so good to us. Bless each one, Lord, we pray, that's in your divine presence today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come. And may you be all enriched over these next few days and the beginning of a new year and all the things that take place. You know, it's just a blessing to be able to see people who are mindful of God through all of that. And so may the Lord richly bless you and keep you safe as you travel around. We love you and appreciate you very much. And we'll be praying that God will deal with every heart. We'll see you next Sunday. Sing it as you go this evening here. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yes, come, let us adore. He